Yesterday, we thought about Ezekiel chapter 1. So if you will find it in your Bible, we will review just for a minute or two. God is on His throne. He is ruling on His throne, and His throne is surrounded by a rainbow. Underneath the throne is represented four living creatures. Four living creatures that are called the cherubim in chapter 10. And they are under God and in charge of the play and interplay of human events. And this vision is called a vision of the glory of God. Now we think glory of God is bright light. Well, light is a symbol of the glory. The glory is self-sacrificing love. The glory of God was seen when Jesus became a man. The Word became flesh and we beheld His glory. Full of grace and truth. Truth is the Word. Grace is the power to obey it. And when Jesus Christ became a man and showed the glory of God, He showed us how we should live and He gave us the power to live. And Revelation 18, verses 1 to 3, describe an angel who came down from heaven and joined his voice with the three angels, and the whole earth was lighted with His glory. Now we saw that these cherubim were symbols of a function and a character that was seen first in Lucifer, then in Gabriel, and ultimately in the redeemed of the Lord. Now this is a complicated vision. These four living creatures in Revelation 5 sing a new song in verse 9. Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us from among men. These four living creatures with likenesses of Jesus Christ are symbols of the function of character, which is illustrated by cherubim, and dissemination of light, which is shown by the seraphim. Satan was the covering cherub, thy shining seraph, but he failed. He accused God of being arbitrary, of demanding what was too much and impossible to attain. And God put on the mercy seat cherubim so that the worshipper in the sanctuary could keep his eye on the ideal toward which the whole scheme of things moved. And in the vision of Ezekiel 1, he sees in the government of God that purpose to be attained. And if once you get in your mind the picture that the whole plan of salvation is to make men and women like Christ, they sit with Him upon His throne. Isn't that what Jesus Christ told the 12 apostles? Isn't that what we are told about the faithful Laodiceans? He'll come in, sup, and enable them to sit upon His throne, even as He sat down with the Father on His throne. So this whole picture is shown by Ezekiel chapter 1. God is controlling the wheels within wheels, or as the book Education tells us, the play and interplay of human events in order to bring about the results of the government of God and the transformation of character. That's the vision of Ezekiel 1. Now I would suggest that you read and think about the last verse of that chapter. And the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And when I saw it, I fell down, heard a voice behind me saying, every person who has caught a glimpse of the glory of God has been compelled to fall down on the ground. Moses, John, Peter, John and James on the Mount of Transfiguration, Daniel in chapter 9, every one of them that has seen the glory of God fell down as dead. As we think about this, we think God's glory, God's character, God's function is working towards taking human beings and making them like himself and sharing his throne with them. And I heard a voice behind me said to me, Son of man, stand up, I'll speak to thee. And the Spirit entered into him, and he spoke. And I heard him, and he said to me, I send thee to the children of Israel. Everyone who catches a glimpse of that glory is commissioned to preach the gospel, to speak unto the children of Israel, rebellious nation, rebelled against me, their fathers transgressed to this very day, impudent, stiff-hearted, I send thee to them, and thou shalt say to them, Thus saith the Lord. The Lord isn't finished with them. They may be impudent, they may be stiff-hearted, but he loves them. That's the sort of people he gave his son to die for. He didn't give Jesus to die for saints. They die for sinners. Paul says, of whom I am chief. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he is telling Ezekiel, I'm sending you to this people. They're not going to like you. It's going to be very unpopular. They will, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, thou shalt know that a prophet has been with you. But thou, son of man, be not like one of them, neither be afraid of their words, for they are briars and thorns unto thee. Nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And here now is the message. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Be not like them, speak my word to them. So this is the second stage. The first is the vision of the love and the glory and the character and the purpose and the work of God. He's on the throne. He's guiding the affairs of the world. He's got those four living creatures which are representative of mankind, just as Moses and Elijah were representatives when the glory of God was seen on the Mount of Transfiguration. One resurrected, the other translated. So he's going to find four people who are going to lead his church. They're going to triumph. We saw them in verse 20 and 21 of chapter 1. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. So there was their Spirit to go. When these stood still, those stood still. When these went, they went. God's got an obedient people here who are going to help him establish the glory of God. The prophecy in Isaiah, arise, shine, thy light has come, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. That was a prophecy. Revelation 18, the whole earth is full of his glory. It's going. It's going now. There are people who enjoy church bashing. Let their bashing be like water on a duck's back. There are failures, but there are successes. This gospel is going in all the world. As I mentioned yesterday, the doctrine of the second coming of Christ. In my lifetime, when I first went colportering, aged 18, nobody believed in the second coming of Christ. Second coming of Christ was at conversion. He came into the heart. He's already here. But any belief that he was coming in glory with all the holy angels with him, with a great noise, the dead in Christ rise, that was held as a fiction. But now, every Jack, Tom, and Harry is preaching the second coming of Christ. Every denomination. That message has reached the ends of the world. And it's going to reach it with much greater power. Another success is our health mission message. You can hardly turn on the television, but somebody is trying to sell you a machine to exercise for you. Many, many gadgets. Advertising food that is fat-free, ice cream that is fat-free, cookies that are fat-free. Well, this fat-free started with Adventists a long time ago. Cut out the fats. Reduce the calories. Well, everyone is doing that now, who's got any sense. That's a message that is going out into the ends of the earth. And I think the Sabbath message would go out. The whole world has got to talk about the Sabbath before the mark of the beast is applied. Don't think that God is not blessing his people. He's blessing them in a wonderful way. But they have got to do, as Ezekiel was told to do, speak my words to them. Whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. In verse 9, and I looked, and behold, a hand was sent unto me with a roll of a book. and he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. Lamentations, mourning, woe. And moreover he said to me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll. And I opened my mouth, he caused me to eat it. And he said to me, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll. That's the third stage. The second, you've got to speak God's word. Third, you've got to digest that word. Now Ezekiel, in this vision, was told to eat the word. Jeremiah was also interested in eating the word. Thy word was found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Notice the singular and the plural in the word for word. Thy words, plural, were found, and I did eat them. And thy word, singular, was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You start by reading the Bible, and then you get the gist of the message. You get the words first, and then the word of God enters your mind. Now the Millerites were told to eat the scroll of a book in Revelation 10. They were told to eat it. In their mouths they were promised it would be as sweet as honey. But when they digested it, it would be as bitter as gall. And we saw that those two parts of that prophecy were fulfilled in 1843 and 1844. In 1843, the 1335-year prophecy was fulfilled. Blessed, happy is he that cometh to the end of the 1335 days. They were thrilled. Christ was going to return. They were going to be restored to his presence. But after they had digested it, in 1844, they discovered it wasn't to earth that he was coming, that it was preparation for the judgment. But they had to eat the roll. That is, get its superficial meaning, and then digest it thoroughly. And Ezekiel had to do that. And then he was told in verse 4 of Ezekiel 3, get thee to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. And in the verses that follow, the Lord told him, you're not going to a people whose language you don't know. They understand you perfectly well. But you'll find them hard-hearted, indifferent, stiff-necked, impudent. But speak my words to them. Don't be afraid of them. What I tell you, you speak. Having digested the message, we are knowledgeable, and we can preach. And the Spirit took me up, and I heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures and the wheels. And so the Spirit took me up, and I went. Then I came to then of the captivity of Tel Aviv, and dwelt by the river Kiba. And I sat where they sat, and remained there among them 7 days. He was taken by the Spirit and associated, lived where they lived, sat where they sat, ate what they ate, and talked their language. So if we are going to carry out the gospel commission, we must do so. He said, I'm not turning you to a people whose language you don't know. Which means that you who speak Ilocano will go to those who speak Ilocano. Those who speak German will go to those who speak German. Those who speak English will go to those who speak English. The Spirit took him there. And I sat where they sat and remained among them 7 days. So this picture is one of God's preparation of his people for his great ministry. Now notice what he has done. He has shown them the success. He has shown them God upon his throne. That throne is surrounded by a rainbow of promise. He's made a covenant with them. He's shown him Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, one like the Son of Man. And he's shown that Christ controls the four living creatures. And they themselves control the wheels within wheels, the play and interplay of human events. That through their obedience and submission to him, they are carrying out his purpose. This is the glory of God. And all the prophecies lead up to Revelation 18, the final manifestation of the glory of God. And then he finds those on earth, like Ezekiel, whom he gives a commission. Ezekiel had to tell others about this. And the rest of the book of Ezekiel is how he does it. And how things come together. And how God's plan, originally summarized in chapter 1, is fulfilled in chapter 48. So that the new Jerusalem and the new earth will be established. And the name of the city in that day shall be God is there, Jehovah Shammah. He'll be in the midst of his people. This will be attained. So Ezekiel was to bear in mind that what he was doing would bring success. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman. Verse 17. Therefore hear my words at their mouth and give them warning. When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, that wicked man shall die in his wickedness. But thou hast saved thy life. If thou warn the wicked and he turned not from his wickedness. He shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. This is a solemn message, one that goes to our hearts. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. His righteousness shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thy hand. So he is solemnly intoning the responsibility that God's people have. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of God stood there, as I saw it by the river Kibar, and I fell on my face, and the Spirit entered into me. The first three chapters of Ezekiel show to us a vision and give us a commission. God showed him what he intended. And then God challenged him to proclaim a message that would establish this. We see the same thing in Revelation 14. We see the 144,000, the first fruits, perfect, blameless. How do they get there? They get there by following the three angels' message. God puts what he's going to do, and then he gives us the means. He has done that here. He has shown us what he is going to do, and he has given us the means. And as we think of what part we have to play today, all the problems, all the difficulties, we sometimes think of Ezekiel, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, impudent, defiant. But the Lord says, go, Ezekiel, and I will empower you. And the Spirit of God enters into him. And it's only as he reads the Bible, as he digests the Bible, as he eats it up with the help of the Spirit, that he is enabled to carry out his commission. We will be enabled to carry out our commission by the same providence. We have got to eat the Word of God day by day. We've got to pray for the Spirit day by day. We've got to fall down in obeisance and worship day by day. That was true 2,500 years ago in the days of Ezekiel. That's true now. God is going to give success to his work. This is his method. A vision, a commission, Bible study, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. There are no shortcuts. As we contemplate this, let us pray that we may do our part faithfully. Let's bow our heads. Our loving Heavenly Father, We thank Thee for this glorious vision that Thou didst give to Ezekiel. We thank Thee that Thou art on the throne, guiding, ruling, that Thy Spirit is in the midst of Thy faithful people, subduing, empowering, that Thy Holy Word is now in our midst, directing, teaching. And we pray that we may take this book, that we may eat it up, that we may take its teachings and believe them with all our hearts. And we thank Thee for the promise of Thy Holy Spirit to come and fill our minds and our lives with Thy teaching. Lord, be with each member of this church. Give them Thy grace. Give them the vision of the success of Thy work. Give them Thy Spirit in rich abundance. Explain Thy word to them, that they may follow after. And very soon, may we see a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And we ask these mercies through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. International Copyright 2008, all rights reserved. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.